Podtacular, episode 255, E3 2011 recap for June 7th, 2011. Hey guys, welcome back to the show. It has been quite a while, and we have lots to talk about with E3. But first, we have to welcome back Brent Gamer. Hello, Brent.
Hey, everybody. How you doing? I missed you guys.
I'm sure they missed you, too.
Yeah, I missed recording the show.
It's been a while since we've all been on it.
Yeah.
Last one was posted back in April. So it's been about 6 weeks since we did our last show.
Yeah. Just like every time we decide to get an oil change, we like do a podcast. It's great.
Yeah.
Like.
And
it's on the window.
Yeah.
Next podcast.
Next podcast
at 30,
next podcast in 30,000 miles. I don't know. For my
30,000. Holy shit. I mean, like 3,000.
Oh, I've
Yeah, our podcasts go a long time.
I don't know. I've driven quite a bit coming out all the way out here to Maryland, so I'm a long way from home at the moment. But as you guys have already heard, we also have Keith from the Running Riot on the show today.
Hello.
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 How is it going in your neck of the woods?
These woods are they're clearing them out, man. They're chopping trees down. They're making some room for more Halo.
Oh yeah. And we are going to be talking about that plenty as we get into our E3 recap. And this is recorded on the 7th, so this is after pretty much all the conferences have been done. I know I watched the Xbox, the PS3, and the Nintendo press conferences. Do you guys watch any of the other ones?
Yes, I watched all of the big three. And parts of the EA press conference and the highlight reel of Mr. Caffeine from the Ubisoft conference.
Very nice. What about you, Keith?
All I watched was... I watched the Microsoft. I watched part of the Nintendo. Just part. And I don't think I've ever watched Sony.
Okay, well, you didn't
out of
miss
like
much,
hatred,
so
or like fear.
Just I don't. There's nothing that sounds entertaining for me to watch there.
Yeah,
yeah.
I can totally understand
entertainment,
that.
Entertainment reasons only.
I guess the reason I watch all of them is because I'm afraid that they're just gonna like drop some sort of bomb that nobody was expecting. Like I'm just like the whole conference just waiting for something big to be announced, and that was why I was the most right. excited for Nintendo this year, because I knew that they were going to announce a console, but I needed to know more about it.
Well, to that point though, what has Sony ever announced that you never are you oh my like oh my god?
Well, we knew everything about the Vita,
right.
like all the specs.
That's what I'm saying.
Stuff,
there's never
like
a surprise from Sony. So, right?
I wish that they would have like waited to tell us about the back touchscreen or something maybe.
That would have been
like,
nice.
You like front touchscreens, huh? Check this out. The back one, you know, get Mr. Caffeine out there.
That's what I'm talking about.
Let's go back 20 years.
That's exactly what I'm talking about. E3 needs to be that.
All the speeches need to be freeform. And it shouldn't be any of this teleprompter BS.
Nope.
That's not entertaining.
Nope.
And doesn't captivate any audience whatsoever.
Nope. Let's see how good Cliff is. Throw him up there with no script.
No shirt.
With iced tea.
I actually just stepped over the
iced tea's up there.
The Gears conference or the segment on the Microsoft.
Yo,
conference.
Cliff, let's blow this.
I mean, I love
it. Alright, iced tea.
He didn't get to say anything.
Iced tea was super serious. Did you notice that?
Yes, he was.
Like, that dude is all up in some gears.
He gets sued a lot by people, so he tries to keep his mouth shut.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's always in trouble. But he loves games, though. He's a big-time gamer.
Yeah.
I think he's actually a big time Halo fan too. From what I remember.
If I ever ran into Ice-T in matchmaking, I doubt I'd ever know it. But isn't his like gamer tag Final Level? That's also his Twitter account, I think.
You know what? Now that you said that.
Final Level.
I remember reading that.
Yeah.
Because I know he's an Xbox Live. Huh.
So,
Yes.
You ever run into Ice-T out there?
He's on Cliffy's. I'm sure he's on Cliffy's friends list. I bet.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Anyways. So.
Starting.
There's a lot of things to talk about in this podcast.
Hopefully
we won't go too long, and we might do another one this week because I actually have to go to bed in about an hour.
Betty bye.
Yeah, I got work in the morning.
Shazam. Okay, well, we'll wrap up E3 in an hour.
Hour and a half tops. But
2 hours.
There might be some overflow.
2.5 hours.
I wish I had the time. That would be a weekend podcast deal. But anyways, so there's some big news out of the Xbox conference that mainly pertains to most of us here on Podtacular, and that would be, of course, the Halo announcements that were made. More specifically, the Halo Anniversary Edition of Halo CE, which was the first game, and then the announcement for Halo 4. Now, I know from a personal standpoint, I am more excited about the anniversary and really appreciate the fact that they're pretty much using the old physics engines and it's basically just a graphical overlay. So
that's probably the best news.
I mean, that was pretty exciting to see that they are actually keeping like the overpowered pistol and the physics of the game are untouched and the only thing is graphics. And I think that's kind of precedented by the fact that you just hitting the back button, you can switch from the old style graphics to the new, which is, I'm pretty curious on how they did that actually.
They explain it one of the entries. I think Frankie O'Connor explains it.
Well, I know like how they do it on a high level, but I mean like technically how they did it is kind of what I'm.
Somewhere they did. I read it somewhere, but they. That's how they had to make it. They did it. Because they didn't change anything, that's how they did it in their design process. They just were overlaying everything, so they might as well make it a Switch. There's some other game that does that. Or some other games they followed that from. There's something I read today, all the 1,000 articles I read today. there was something about that. So it actually was. That's what it takes to do that is pretty much just, throwing stuff on top of stuff. And they just made it, you could just switch it on and off like they do while they're developing. So it actually wasn't a big stretch to do that.
I mean, that just makes me wonder, since they already offer Halo CE as a Xbox Originals download, how does that kind of integrate into that along with, I mean, I guess the only thing that the Originals thing has over what we're going to be getting in the anniversary release is it actually has the old maps that you could play and land up with. And the new maps that are coming out are only for Reach. They're not actually for this Halo Anniversary release, which it would have been actually pretty cool to see all those maps redone.
All right, we just got to clear up? The Halo Anniversary thing is, there's so many questions as far as what it actually is or what it contains.
Okay, well, we can probably clarify that here because
let's do it.
I think we have a clear-cut idea between the three of us here of what actually is going into this game.
I hope even before we do this, we kind of know, because
I'm sure there's some details that we don't know about, but there's definitely some
right
stuff.
Well, it's not fully done yet, so
right. But it will be out this year, which is nice.
Yes.
Which I think, I don't know, seeing some comments out there, it seemed like people weren't expecting this until holiday season next year. But no, this game is supposed to be released on the 10th anniversary of Halo. That's the planned release date for this.
Right.
So that's why they're calling it Anniversary Edition.
Yeah, but it's not too far of a stretch to think that that can be released this year because they really didn't do that. I mean, they did a lot of work to it. I don't want to take that away from them. But as far as, you know, they didn't make a whole new multiplayer. There's
right.
only it's only a graphical overlay.
Well, and they did do the new maps, so
that's a map studio made Certain Affinity
yeah.
made those maps, and they're for Reach.
I thought it was a different studio this time around.
No, Certain Affinity.
Okay. There's some other company start with an S somewhere. Like Saber?
Oh, Saber.
Saber?
Yeah,
yes.
Saber.
What did they do?
Did they do the graphics?
I remember seeing their name
they
somewhere.
They were rumored to have been doing the Anniversary Edition. Like, they were outsourced or something.
Oh.
Like, 343i had outsourced them to make Halo CE. I don't know if that's true or not. I mean, I obviously know that 343i has been working on Halo Anniversary. But I don't know how much they've actually worked on it. Or if they actually, you know, outsourced from Saber Interactive. Like,
I'm going to bet that almost the whole project was outsourced.
Yeah. Oh, wow, there's a new blog post.
I mean, the multiplayer was outsourced. We know that for certain. That's Certain Affinity. That's Max Hoberman and friends.
Yep. Yes, it is. The graphical... First of all, they're working on Halo 4. So they're really... Yeah, that was definitely a...
Okay, yeah. Saber was the one that... did the graphical remake for Halo 1.
Okay.
All right.
That was in the blog post that Frankie put up yesterday.
There you go. Good. Way to go, Duststorm.
And they actually have some kind of community video thing from Vociferous that got posted today, so I'll have to watch that after the show.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I've been on Waypoint like crazy today. They keep releasing stuff in there.
Yeah, well, I'm sure they're going to be releasing quite a bit of stuff over the next few months.
Their thumbs are pretty clean. That has not been up their asses. They've been working.
Yeah, especially with how much of a show they put up at E3. I mean, jeez. It was interesting to see how they ended up the show. That was kind of interesting. Because at the beginning, you didn't know what the video actually was until you started hearing Cortana... yelling, Chief, wake up.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was like, you usually don't get like X-Men in the beginning of a Halo trailer.
Yeah.
That was like the X-Men, you know, beginning of the X-Men
movie. Yeah, I was not exactly sure, like, what kind of game that was. Like, I knew it was, like, the nervous system, but that was all I got from it until you finally started.
I knew that it was Halo 4 because that had already leaked earlier that day.
True.
You know, so I knew that the thing that they were showing last, because they obviously hadn't shown it yet, was going to be Halo 4. So I knew that the trailer I was watching was Halo 4. I didn't know what was going on at first. Like, I saw that little red flash, and, like, my stream video wasn't great. I was like, is this in space or something? Am I looking at, like, some sort of crazy nebula, like,
space.
Flies through space?
Space!
And then all of a sudden, I see this, like, beating aorta or something. I'm like, yeah.
The heart. So
Chief.
Yeah.
The Chief's getting in, and then I heard, like, you know, Cortana in the distance, you know, John, you don't get, you get up, bro. Like, and I'm like, yeah, this is, yeah, great. And then I like see him bust out and I get super excited. But then like the whole time I'm thinking like somehow this sequence seems like kind of hokey to me.
Yeah.
Like I know that I'm probably going to love the game, but for some reason this just seems super hokey because all of a sudden you see like the neuron like hit, like the electric signal hits the brain. Like, his neurons start firing, and then all of a sudden it, like, pans out, and you see, like, the cryo chamber opening up, and he, like, busts out. He's like, I'm here, or whatever, like, and he grabs Cortana. He's like, let's go. Like, they head out.
I know.
And then, like,
and then he has a jetpack from...
Yeah.
That was...
I actually love that part. Like, he's, like, coming out, and, like, he grabs on to the, you know, the edge of the
sequence
ship.
Sequence was awesome,
look
man.
Out over Marathon or whatever.
It's true. It just reminds me of the Halo 2 trailer when he was at the cargo door.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have no problem with that, the trailer at all. You know, you can start picking it apart, but it's just a trailer. The fiction.
Or no, it's not even a trailer. It's a teaser.
Well.
Right. Excuse me. Yes, exactly.
So.
But no, but it was, I thought it was good. I thought it was okay. I didn't like the I thought the whole X-Men thing in the beginning with the neurons.
Is that what that's from?
I don't know, but that's what it's like. I don't actually. Spider-Man kind of does that too in the beginning of that movie. Following neuron paths. I just didn't see the relevance of how it is to Halo. You know, it's not like we're. He does have his DNA is a little different, but I don't know. It just got really scientific in the beginning, and then then just has a girl yelling in your head, and then you're like, "Get up!
Wake up!
Yeah,
wake up!"
Yeah, I think the importance of that. They're just trying to get across that the chief has been in a deep, deep sleep for a long time because like. There's nothing around this. Like there's this one little electrical impulse that's like keeping him alive, right? Like that's his. This one little thing is the only thing that is clinging him to life. And when we need him the most, when Jen Taylor or whoever's doing that voice now, is it still Jen Taylor?
It doesn't sound like her.
Whoever's doing it now, they need the chief. So like in their deepest hour. The one impulse that keeps the chief alive awakens, and then deep within the chief, the energy just exponentially. It's like
getting really analytical here.
Chief, one little impulse sends off an entire neuron, full of brain activity. So I don't know. And the significance of the chief coming out of cryostasis is not lost on me. I understand that you start off Halo 1 coming out of cryostasis. And now, you're going to start the new trilogy coming out.
I never realized that.
Yeah.
Never realized that from Halo 1 to Halo 3, you exit cryo and you enter cryo. I've never realized that.
No, that's exactly. Oh, come on.
Wow. How did I miss that? That completely flew by me. Wow.
So the electrical part was all right with me.
I should be bitch slapped for right now.
No, but it's not. It's easy to miss when you have a video game type of thing, because it doesn't play like a movie. It's definitely different.
Still, that's something I should have picked up on just immediately, being a Halo fan.
I really don't want to get, unless you guys want to. I mean, the trailer, the teasers are the teasers.
I wouldn't look much really, too much into the teasers.
If we look too deep into those things, then we're going to,
No, I wouldn't look too much.
Those things, you forget about them. Like, I forgot about the Halo 2 teaser at E3. Remember that thing? The Halo 2 one was the most influential teaser I ever saw, and for me, like, as far as following every detail, there was a BR in there that was a one shot.
Yeah,
so
and you didn't play that sequence at all.
This is like zero relevance,
right?
Like, you can
you know what I mean? Yes. Jen Taylor's most famous line is not even used in the movie. And in any of the games.
I know. Bet you can't stick it. You're wrong. But yeah, so the teaser came out. And I think everyone was more excited about the anniversary announcement. So let's talk about.
Just like general excitement. No, excitement aired in favor of Halo 4.
Really? Because
people were really. I mean, if the NeoGAF forums were any indication, and occasionally they are, like Halo 4 was a big deal. I think people aren't as excited about Halo CE anniversary because it isn't a new game. It's a remake of. I mean, it's a graphical update of a great old game. But if you've already played it once, then you know the content. And for people like us that really loved Halo 1, it's going to be awesome. But, I mean, if you didn't enjoy... if you enjoyed Halo 1 but didn't care enough to play it again, it's not going to excite you.
I wasn't really teased anything new for the Halo 4 teaser. Pretty much you could deduct that at the end of Halo 3, what the Chief was falling towards was some kind of Forerunner planet of some kind. And the whole opening inside the planet... wasn't a surprise to me. I mean, it's kind of something that you could see coming. So, I mean, it was just something to me saying, oh, yes, we're working on Halo 4, and we've known that for quite a while that...
Yes, yes.
That they're working on Halo 4.
I think I see both. You know what?
So...
You know what? Anniversary's coming soon. You could be, like, real excited because that's coming soon.
Oh, yeah.
But at the same time, the Halo 4 thing is definitely a huge, blown out, you know, full game that you get more excited about than some add-on, which what this is, kind of, you know? So, but I could see definitely getting excited for something. I'm more recent, like, definitely this thing's going to be out really soon, the anniversary thing. So it's more something that's closer. So I'm more excited about that now, but overall, Halo 4.
Okay.
I'm excited for Halo 1 Reach maps.
Oh, but not, yeah, in Reach.
That's going to be...
No, they're in Reach.
Mm.
The multiplayer.
What?
What do you mean by not in Reach?
My understanding was that Halo CE has multiplayer, but it's
no,
made
this
in
is,
the Halo
this is,
Reach engine.
No, this is where some of our clarification, I guess, is coming into the
yes.
podcast now.
All right. So they're just new maps?
Yes.
For Reach.
They
pretty much. Pretty much.
All the anniversary edition is strictly campaign. So there's the graphics updated overlay and the option to do co-op and achievements and stuff like that. So that's
yes.
that's basically
the only
what
multiplayer
the core
is co-op.
Yeah, the only multiplayer is co-op. So kind of think of ODST in a way.
Yep.
And the maps are actually extra content that I guess is going to be coming on a separate disk that you install to your hard drive and gets picked up by Reach. So it's a separate map pack. And
all right.
Four of the seven maps so far are Beaver Creek, Damnation, Hang'em High, and Containment. And we don't know what the other three are yet.
Classic Halo 1 maps.
Yeah. Beaver
yeah,
Creek,
I don't know.
Beaver Creek, Damnation, and Hang'em High are definitely classic Halo 1s. Containment is our Halo 2 map.
Right.
So there's still three more Halo 1 maps that we don't know which ones are being remade yet. And I bet
or
if we
maybe
actually...
maybe it's more Halo 2, too.
Well, no, they said... They actually came out and said there's going to be six original Halo 1 maps remade and then one Halo 2. So we know what the Halo 2 one is.
Okay. What's the Halo 2 map?
Containment. The big Ice Mountain one.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm just... That was like a DLC map, though. So it's like a DLC map of a DLC map.
Right.
That's pretty fantastic.
Right. But, I mean, that was a good map, I thought.
Yeah, it was a good map. But I'm just saying there are better maps. If I'm choosing Halo 2 maps to remake and Reach, my first one isn't Containment.
Well, you also have to think, in this regard, since it's in Reach, what maps do they need to remake that can't be rebuilt in Forge?
What maps do they need to hold
like
over
Foundation,
to remake in Halo 4?
Like Foundation would be a map that you want to remake, but you can make that in Forge.
They need to hold over.
Same thing with Desolation and maybe Turf or something like that.
Right, but you know, a graphic one that's one like you remember some aspect.
Right, but.
But here's the thing. Here's the reimagining, or the remakes, or the you know.
Right.
So there's, which one do you want? So, the ones that are going to come out for Reach, I think that are from Halo, like, you could tell that they are, you know, they're not a reimagined.
I would like to see Terminal again.
Yeah.
There's so much.
Actually, the more that I think about the better it is, because now that Bungie doesn't, you know, control Halo anymore, because they don't want to anymore, they're moving on to their next thing. You know, the 343 can take bigger risks, I guess, with outsourcing map packs and stuff. So maybe we are going to see more Halo 2 remakes.
Well, what
maybe
do you
we
think
are going to see
five?
More like I would be fine with like charge me like $10 for seven remade Halo 2 maps. Like hell yeah, I would totally be into that. Like even if I, not many of my friends are still playing Halo Reach anymore. At least on my Xbox Live friends list. You know, I mean, the people that I play with are usually friends of the few friends I have left that play Reach. You know, so
like me.
Yeah. But I would totally be into buying, like, Halo 2 maps.
Oh, yeah, I think all of us
yeah.
would.
Yeah, I think, yeah, we would all be.
Because now that I know that, like, they don't even have to release it for the new Halo game they're making, they can just put it on Reach. Like, yeah, get certain affinity to start making Halo 2 maps and release them in, you know, 6 months or whatever.
Fine.
I mean, it'd be interesting.
No forge or nothing. Just make them as a, and make them cheap, and just throw, you know, just throw these things as a design map. We don't need forge. We don't need nothing.
I mean, it'd be interesting to see something like,
because you make forge community go crazy.
Complete graphic updates of all the official maps. I mean, that in and of itself right there is a game.
Dude, there's so many maps. There's so many maps now. We're
it'd be two discs, but...
We're four games in with 20...
It's at least 50, maybe 60 maps.
No, more than that.
I said at least.
You blanket covered yourself.
I did.
More than five.
I mean, and you also have to... You also have to think about, like, on the PC game, there was an extra, what?
There's an extra 10, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, but those are never popular. Those will never be remade. Because nobody, not many people had that would ever...
Blastacular map hack.
That would never make it into the hands of a studio. Like, oh, this everybody remember this one.
Well, actually, Certain Affinity would remember the Blastacular map pack because they made it.
Yeah.
Nobody bought it. Somebody has to play these maps.
I bought it because the best map of all time. I think.
What, the Hang 'em High remake?
Oh, yeah. Not the remake, but Hang 'em High was my favorite.
Oh, yeah. I like Hang 'em High my favorite Halo map, I just go to Headlong.
Hang 'em High
I mentally occupy that space. Like, I start driving a Warthog around, you know, Headlong in my brain.
In Halo 2 overall, in all maps.
Relic would be an interesting remake.
That is something kind of interesting if you think about it. And deep. Like, you remember a movie, right? And you can only remember what you were shown. You can only remember the linear sequence of events. But with a video game, you can literally remember an entire 3D space. An entire,
it's weird.
Three-dimensional area and detailed. Like, because you play it again and again and again so many times that you just get this super detailed kind of composite 3D image in your brain.
Right.
Map.
So you can play it in your sleep.
But that's why I like almost a lot of different maps because of that. So
yeah.
So let me.
Oh yeah, I don't have like, I don't resent it when they remake you know one map over another because I love most Halo maps unless it's just a map I hate. I'm all for remakes. Go for it.
Yeah. I'm pretty much a fan of almost all maps that have been made because they're different. You know, so it's not a matter of, like, if how they play, but I'm just like, all right, this is something different. I hate playing on the same maps over and over and over again. I get made fun of that all the time. Oh, I like this map. I like this map. You don't hate any maps, everybody tells me I'm lying.
Dude, I got
made fun of that at the LAN for that.
Sidewinder, Rat Race, Prisoner. I want to see a Prisoner remake.
See? Everybody has like all the classic maps from Halo.
Yeah.
That is definitely the core. There are everybody pretty much because that's all you had. There was no DLC. So you had to play all those maps. So all those maps in Halo are all classics.
Right.
It was the first, you know, first time of the kind. The clever
elongation.
The map names. Oh. See, you get me wet every time you name a Halo.
Geophobia, Timberland, Ice Hills.
Only Halo.
Danger Canyon.
Beaver Creek.
Battle Creek.
No, Battle Creek was
Battle. Halo. Yeah, Battle Creek. But I love beavers.
Well, Beaver Creek.
I think that they
Beaver
should
Zone.
Have named. The Beaver Zone.
That seriously, I want to use that as a call out sometime. He's in the Beaver Zone. What? The Beaver Zone. What?
My property is called Beaver Creek.
Really?
Yeah, you could. You,
I wonder
you could,
why.
Well, there's a creek behind the back of my house. And there's not beavers, but there's groundhogs, but they look like beavers.
That's disappointing.
Yeah, I was like, I want to put a beaver back there just to spawn beavers.
Beavers.
Fight off the groundhogs.
Yes. I want to mutate them.
Little beavers in like Spartan armor. They're running around in like Mjolnir Mark V, like, shooting down groundhogs.
Oh, gosh. Someone needs to Photoshop that now.
But you're allowed to name your property, so I named it Beaver.
Interesting. Let's see. What's some other clarification things that we might want to bring up? It's not going to be a full $60.
$40.
$40. So they made a price announcement. Or is that you wishing?
It's
official. Okay.
It's on Waypoint's site. In one of Frankie's rants.
Well, you just said it wasn't going to be full price.
No, definitely not. But they said the price.
Okay. I hope it's just not something they're like doing $55 or something.
It's $40. And then like.
So they actually came out with a solid
for anniversary?
Yeah.
Yeah, $40. Retail.
When did this happen?
$39.99. I don't know when it happened, but I know it's a fact.
Well, here's the linkage.
Here, I'll find it.
Yeah, I got it.
Keith has it. Apparently.
Retail's $39.99.
Yep. I got it from Frankie's blog on Waypoint. I don't know if there's a press.
Maybe he updated it then, because I don't remember seeing it in his blog. Or maybe I just missed it.
Not his blog, but his...
Well, his blog post from yesterday you're talking about, right?
Yep. Frankie, it
is. So is that a good price? Oh, are you willing to throw down $40?
Oh, wow.
Anything's better than $60.
Well, I mean, it's basically what? Think it's a $20 map pack, right?
It's what ODST should have cost.
Yeah.
That's not Bungie's fault.
Because Bungie wanted to release ODST as a free add-on,
like a $15 like DLC map.
I think yeah. I thought they wanted to do it free.
I don't know. Maybe they did.
I thought I heard that at some point.
I'm sure they did. They definitely did. You got to know.
But then Microsoft was like, no.
Look, you can put it out for free, or you can put it out for $60.
Hey, Valve can do it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So
Valve gets a free pass because they just keep quiet 40, all the time.
I think $40 is a good price for it.
Anything cheaper than $60 is a win. Period. For Halo.
Well, I'll say 50 or below.
No, but you'll still buy it. Anything cheaper than $60. 55's pushing it. 50 is
better.
That's probably pushing it too.
40 though, I think is ballpark number. 45.
Imagine they did 44.99.
I would still buy it then too.
That would be like a ridiculous price.
Do they come out with a with an anniversary special
edition? As long as I get my grunt plushie.
Yeah. Yeah, they're going to come out with a statue.
I just need my grunt plushie, that's all.
Grunt plushie. I'd buy that.
I'd buy that, too. Go ahead and scan that into one of the new Kinect Lab things.
Oh, yeah. Most pointless thing on the planet. What are you going to do once it's scanned in?
I don't know.
Once I have put my item into the virtual space, what do I do with it? Do I just look at it?
I guess.
Can I not look at the real thing?
I do like the thing where you can actually scan yourself and become your avatar. I like that. That was clever.
To be like Ed Bassmaster, awesome. Just look at it.
Just look at it. I mean, I guess what you could do with that is make that replace your avatar in some of these Kinect games and actually play as that thing, maybe.
And we still don't have
any word from Milo. Poor Milo.
Yeah, Milo's dead, I think. I think they kind of confirmed it. Lionhead said, like, look, Milo was a, you know, tech demo thing. We considered doing something with it, but just
that's
didn't
weird,
come through.
That, I mean,
now, Milo, cool. Milo's in like,
now they're too busy working on Fable, the Journey.
Somewhere.
I mean, because that could have been something that was really good. At least
Fable the Journey is like everything that's wrong with the Kinect to me. Like the idea of taking a franchise and making this game that's like the very antithesis of what that franchise is supposed to be about, which is like freedom and being your own person and, you know, it being, you know, making your own hero in this mystical world. Like, it's an on-rails shooter where you move your arms around to, like, conjure magic. Fable the Journey.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I
it's
saw that.
It's so entirely different.
Yeah, I saw that demo. That was disturbing, actually.
Hmm.
It was just...
That's all I have to say about that.
Yeah, no, it's just... Yeah, it's just disturbing.
Oh, it's not disturbing. It's just like... It points out to me what's wrong with the Kinect. Right. One, you can't move around in a 3D space, which is ironic considering that the controller actually, you know, is tracking you in 3D space.
That's exactly why I find it disturbing.
My 2D analog control stick movement, you know, it actually translates into 3D movement on screen, whereas my 3D movement in real life translates into nothing on screen with Kinect. So,
right.
Yeah, there's a,
it's
there's
just
a
like,
problem there.
The tech isn't there yet or something. Like, they haven't
figured
out. I
just don't think Kinect
first
really...
thing they need to do, first, the very first thing they need to do, they need to sit down and be like, how do we move around in a 3D space? Like, if we can't figure this shit out, no more Kinect. Like, you don't come up with the idea. If you don't make some sort of method for me to move around in a fucking 3D space like I have in every single video game for the past, you know, what, 12 years now? If longer.
Yeah.
The N64 days, like 15. Like, even further back, if you're going into the PC, like the early PC days, like, you've been able to move around in 3D space with a controller for 15 years, and you're telling me that now that we have this you know, this supposedly groundbreaking technology.
Groundbreaking.
Yeah. It is groundbreaking. It's just like shit.
Groundbreaking technology.
Yeah. It's just, they need to figure out how to move around before they start messing around.
Listen, how about not even try to figure out how to move around? How about just get innovative and use Kinect to parts of the game that would be...
See, but why transition?
Add it to immersion, not moving around. You don't need the move around. Obviously, that's never going to work. There's no way you're going to be able to move around.
I'm saying if they're going to market it to me as something that'll work, if they're going to market you are the controller, they need to be able to make sure that I am the controller. Like, I don't need, if I'm going to use the Kinect solely to play a game, I need to be able to somehow move around in 3D space. If that's what they're going to market to me as, I've got to take it as that. Like, but
Yeah, I know. I pretty much agree. I agree with you actually 1,000%. I just think they can innovate more with that thing. Like, have the controller in your hand at the same time as you.
Yeah, that would be nice.
And do shit with your controller in your hand and jump around with the. I don't care. I'll stand up. I'm not that freaking lazy. I'll stand up. I'll do stuff with the controller in my hand, and I'll slash with the controller in my hand. I'll slash.
The problem is that so much of the Kinect technology is like hand tracking that it I don't know. Like, I guess
well, maybe not
your body a little bit, no. Maybe.
Maybe not complicated. So some games it works good. You got the dance stuff. That's obviously not dance controlling, you know, with a controller in your hand.
Right.
That works. But if you're going to do the other stuff, innovate. Make it, you know, make a gesture here and there. Maybe, you know, even in an intense game, even pulling a freaking a pin out of a grenade.
Right.
You want to do that. Like, say you're playing a game and you got the controller in your hand. You're playing a first-person shooter, which we're all familiar with. Okay? So you got that. Boom, boom, boom. You're playing. And then, you know, I got to throw a grenade. I'll squeeze the controller. With the, you know, you got that thing that flips off, you know, you hold that in. When you pull the pin out, you got to still hold on to that pin. So make the motion, pull the pin out, let go of the controller trigger. Boom, you throw the grenade. Throw the, with the controller in your hand. Make sure
you're focusing too much on gameplay. It's not immersive enough. You need to put it on rails.
Yeah.
And then have no controller, because you are the controller. And holding
that's
the controller would obviously prove that
the
Kinect is an
inferior
technology.
The controller doesn't have any sense of accuracy.
No, but the thing is, the whole rails thing is the thing that's disturbing. The lightsaber thing,
rails.
I want to throw up.
The idea of a rails, like an on-rails game, is like,
I'll never go back.
Evolution of the technology, such like a 5 steps back on, you know, video gaming. Like, we went from, you know, 2D side scrolling to 3D so that we could have freedom of movement, and now you're putting me back on a rail. Like,
if great. I want to do rails, fantastic. I'll go back to the arcade.
I'll play like Super Mario Brothers, because at least they like understood that the rails were a limitation and not a design choice, and like made a great game around that.
I think me and Brent just illustrated our hatred for rails. I hate rail games. Hate them. So let's move on. Because yes, I'm getting angry. I hate rail games.
Okay. Yes. So
anyway.
Let's see. Halo Anniversary. Back to that. There are going to be achievements, right? From what I've seen.
Not officially announced.
Okay.
Achievements for what?
For
Halo CE Anniversary.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not yeah. I mean, it has to have achievements,
right? There's definitely going
to
be terminals.
Doesn't have to, no. But it. I actually. No,
from
does.
What I.
It
I,
does
I,
actually. Yeah, it does. It, if it's an Xbox 360 title, yeah, it does.
I remember Jonathan Blow was complaining about that the other night on the Giant Bombcast. They interviewed him at E3 after the show, like after the first day of press conferences, and he was sitting next to like Steptoe and I think E, and like E and Steptoe were shilling like Kinect, and Jonathan Blow the whole time was like railing on them for their certification process. He's like, I wanted to make a game without achievements, but Microsoft won't let me, and Steptoe's like, Kinect is the wave of the future. I mean, you're going to look back on this conference and be like, this is the day that I don't want to quote him because I don't know his exact quote, but something along the lines of like, you will look back and maybe you'll think the Microsoft conference will be more significant than you do now because Kinect will somehow revolutionize computing.
See, I still like, not don't even, see the benefit of Kinect. After a full year, I don't
see... And I
want to
find the video of it, because it was, like, such a confrontational, like, exchange, and I didn't expect it from something out of E3, you know, but...
I mean,
it was pretty crazy.
Some of the stuff that's been coming out of these people that have gone and actually messed around with the stuff, that's been great for Kinect, but I don't see Kinect being much of a thing for video games.
Kinect is great when people that give a about producing cool content start developing for it and innovate.
They're not doing, don't make yourself a Wii controller, innovate it.
I mean,
something motion, innovate the voice, for Christ's sakes. I think Mass Effect is it's kind of going the right direction with voice. I mean, if you're going to add it to it, may not use the entire thing that Kinect does, but maybe use a part of it. Innovate. Don't.
Well, do you remember when they broke the Kinect SDK or whatever? Like, that first week was just all of Kinect's potential was met. You know, all of these tech demos came out. Like, check it out. Like, super choreographed dancing where you can cause an equalizer to bounce up and down as you, like, pelvic thrust into the air and do crazy
but
stuff. Like,
the thing is, Microsoft didn't support that up front. That was a lot
like,
of people that came in.
Like, actively. Like, you can, like, wag your arm.
Yes,
one
yes, that's it. They changed
song.
They changed their minds.
And, like, Microsoft doesn't want to... They want to get everybody to buy it, but they don't want to start developing cool stuff for the Kinect. And, I mean, it's...
I mean, the only thing...
And
I
if the
I
Kinect
see,
is going to exist, good. And if Microsoft is going to allocate so much time to it, I want something that I can use from
right,
it as
right
a consumer.
Now, right now, I
because
don't have any appeal to it.
Otherwise, well, I just want the Kinect to quit existing so that they can start working on first-party games that I care about.
Well, you know what? This is interesting. Does any of us own a Kinect?
No. I mean, Dustin might. I don't.
Okay. We're on a Halo podcast right now. We own 360s. We're pretty much embedded in the Xbox, and we still don't own Kinect. It's not selling a lot of people right. They did some good stuff in the beginning, but that's because there's millions of...
Soccer moms. I threw that term in there. Yes, I said it.
Well, yes.
Send your hate mail to duststorm@podtaco.com.
No, you're right on. But it's also, because it's such a huge install base, yeah, you're going to get your share. But it's, you know what, you're not blowing up skirts on Kinect, but... I just feel like this potential in all this stuff that we've seen, all this hacking, this thing is...
Yeah, but the thing is, that's not Microsoft doing it. That's other people coming in and innovating it on their own, and it's useful for applications outside of Xbox. This is not something that you can really...
Well, that's the way they're marketing it. They're marketing it like... maybe they shouldn't have marketed it like it's the next best thing.
I think that the best thing the best thing Microsoft could possibly do is say, look, well, we're going to keep, you know, this Kinect thing on the Xbox or whatever until the next Xbox comes out. But by then, we would have switched over to the PC. Like, we're going to start marketing this as a PC tool.
I mean, honestly, I think PlayStation has the motion.
And I would be fine with that.
I think PlayStation...
You start marketing Kinect as a, you know, fully featured, you know, filled PC device that I can, like, move around my screen or whatever in real time or do the crazy stuff that people are hacking into it.
Right.
Like, that's crazy. I love that stuff. If they marketed it as that, like...
Yeah, but it's the PC innovative
edge that they need to succeed in a world where Apple is, you know, increasingly making them irrelevant.
Yeah, it's the
PC
stuff
that
matters,
though. But they don't want to do that. They just want to keep it on Xbox and, like, sell it to people that they fooled into buying into the hype, because soccer moms aren't looking at gameplay videos. They're not looking for one-to-one motion in Star Wars Kinect like we are. They just hear, you are the controller. Look, you don't have to have a controller in your living room anymore. No more, you know, cluttered space soccer moms. Your kids are going to love it because this is the most innovative thing in gaming, and they'll buy it. They'll buy it instantly because they don't know any better. Like, Microsoft, obviously, they take Kinect to us, and we're skeptical. Like, they take Kinect to us, and they say, this is the most innovative thing in gaming, and we're like, bullshit, you know? If you want to prove that, give us a killer app, but they won't. Like, every good system needs a killer app, but the Kinect doesn't have shit.
I think that's what we're talking about. It's really just, we haven't seen the game yet.
And but I'm beginning to get skeptical that they can even make a game that would be, like, excellent enough at this point to be a killer app that would finally bring in the hardcore.
Actually, see, I'm the opposite, though. I think they can. I think there can be a game.
I don't think so. I don't think there's a game that you can get fine enough motor control.
Not by itself, but they already have the by itself games. I'm talking about, like, something you can combine with the games that were us. That's what we're really talking about, us gamers that really care about, that can make a game that...
I mean, something that
itself
would...
It can't be a rail shooter by itself. It has to be something that combines and enhances the gameplay. It's possible.
Yeah, it has to be an enhancement to the controls, some additional layer.
If it doesn't add anything, it's pointless.
Yeah, exactly.
And right now, it's basically a completely... It's like a completely isolated
console experience. Why would I move my hand back and then thrust it forward to throw a grenade in a game when I can tap the damn left trigger? Like, I understand the immersion thing, but for me to be immersed in a video game, I need to have a certain level of control.
Brent, I was only saying, like, if it was done... It's got to be done right. I mean,
I'm just saying this kind of, like, zero-sum bullshit that they're doing now. Like, we're just adding in Kinect controls
so that
you can move around and fucking people like moving. Like, that's not enough for me. I need to have
see right through that shit. They know it's just
for me. Like, ideally, like, right now, the most non-innovative way that they could appeal to me is basically just take a complex interaction in a game that would require, you know, a difficult kind of button maneuver or whatever, and make it, like, wave based. You know what I'm saying? Like,
For example,
it's I can kind of imagine, like, a 2D fighting game, right? And in a 2D fighting game, and this is going to be heresy, but to do, like, moves, you have to execute, like, crazy, like, you know, the half quarterback, full circle back, you know, double A, X, you know, middle punch, high, low punch. Some sort of... It's crazy, and people love that. But I can imagine, like, a Kinect game maybe where they obviously can track, like, maybe 20 motions and then have that as a move set for a character. And then based on what motion you do, the character would do that in the game. And the motions don't have to be one-to-one. The motions just have to be accurate enough to where, like, if I like kick my foot up in the air, I know that he's gonna do like a spinning, you know.
Well, that's like a turn base. You almost talk a turn base.
Well, here's something else that
action might be continuous, because in a fighting game, it's not turn based. Obviously, you have to keep doing combos over and over and over again, and that's where the speed comes in. But you could do like motions one after the other. Like I hit you with a hurricane kick, and then all of a sudden I'm like doing an uppercut, and you know, Ryu's doing a shoryuken or whatever, you know, punching the dude in the face. It might not work great. It would be a way that they wouldn't have to do one to one, and it would translate well into the game. I don't know.
Here's some food for
by the Kinect's existence. I really could care less whether or not it succeeds.
Here's some food for thought.
But if it fails, you know, whatever. Good riddance.
Here's some food for thought. I don't know if you guys have played Heavy Rain or seen Heavy Rain, and it's a PS3 title, but something like that. Or something like Alan Wake sounds more of a Kinect title, because it actually involves more integrated body movements, and something like Heavy Rain fits better as a Kinect title. And I think that's probably the best example of a Kinect title.
Even an LA Noir.
Yeah, something like that too.
An immersive game, and that's what Brent was saying. So if you want to do immersive, do it. You don't have to try to make a first-person shooter, a third-person shooter, a Kinect game. Those are supposed to be controller-based. You know, but you can innovate. You could probably add things to innovate within those. Yeah, menu controls or something like that. Call up something quick. I don't know. Anything. I mean, come on. But the immersive games where you're not like you have to feel like you're doing what they're doing on the screen. It's still like you're sitting on a couch watching a movie, but you still have the immersive thing of a little bit of combat mixed with the story.
Right.
Alan Wake would be perfect in that game. Perfect.
Alan Wake and Heavy Rain, I think, are pretty much two prime examples of a potentially excellent Kinect immersion for both of those games.
There you go. I'm with you on that one.
Because there's one part specifically in Heavy Rain that I'm thinking of, and it's the one where you're trying to get through the wires.
Which one?
In Heavy Rain, when you're trying to get through the electrical.
I don't own a PC.
Well, this is just from stuff I've watched, but there's basically a place where you have to try to navigate like wires through a power plant, and you actually have to do these button combos in the correct order. And I'm thinking for Kinect, you can actually do the body motions, and you can actually see a real time reaction, and your body position would be that reflected in the game, and you would actually get through that way.
Okay, I like that. See, that's good.
And then for like LA Noir, you're in a room, you look around, your body movements, and then you can actually point to something to pick it out, and then you have the hand motions to pick it up and inspect it. And that kind of stuff. That makes sense in a Kinect.
A lot of times developers have a problem with immerse when you're doing the immersive thing. Like changing from one game aspect to another. Like you have to change to that Kinect mode. Like you have to switch. So with that, you obviously would have to, but I don't think gamers would mind that too much. As long as you can make that switch pretty fine. Pretty smooth. I think you're right.
But
a lot of it
relies on the game mechanics.
Right. You can innovate.
I want I want the Kinect to be able to tell when I'm naked, and change the game accordingly.
That kind of gives a new definition.
Because depending on Kinect, you know, whether or not I'm nude, you can have completely different gameplay.
Well, you walk, you know.
Especially with Kinect. But I mean,
with respect to like a GTA type of thing, you're running down.
Yeah, that would be fantastic. Like, Nico Bellic, why are you nude?
Oh boy. Jeez, that's horrible.
I don't know. Do you want to talk about the
Wii U? There's just
Oh gosh, the Wii U.
Wii U.
Actually, I think we're gonna go ahead and save the rest of the E3 stuff for another show that we'll record later this week. So we'll probably get this one out. I might get it out tomorrow, if not Thursday. That'll give some time for people to dwell on what's happened over the last 2 days. I don't know, is there any other stuff from the Xbox press conference that really pops out at you guys? I skipped over most of it since I wasn't really interested in...
Kinect.
Yeah. That thing. That piece of hardware that somehow
is... It's sad. The only reason that I think we're talking about it is because...
That was the majority of the show.
That's pretty much it.
Yeah. I mean, we had the Modern Warfare 3 thing at the beginning, which is kind of interesting.
I'm glad these missiles waited until I was right next to them to fire off after I put the codes in, even though it took about, 45 seconds to a minute to get there and get in the boat. It made no sense to me. You entered the launch code, you turned the key, then you get out of the submarine, and just as you're going past the missiles, they decide to fire off?
Yeah, that's game scripting 101.
Yeah, but the thing is...
It happens in every game.
That's the problem with Modern Warfare, is that entire game has just become like
that's
script
not just
fest.
Modern Warfare,
you know, it's like Script Fest 2012. I get tired of it because it's going to sell Boca. It's going to be the highest selling game of all time.
Moments.
It's going to... Modern Warfare 3 will be the biggest selling game of all time. It will sell
most
copies of any game of all time.
Oh, yes.
Okay. And the fact that it's just so, like, the fact that it's so scripted, and it, for me, it really is kind of on rails. It's like you're on a rail that's like maybe 5 foot wider, and you can like walk around it. Like you can walk around the rail. it's you're on the train that's on the rail, and you can walk around the train, but you can only go straight forward on the train, or you can't even go back. You just go straight. Like with Modern Warfare, it's just, I'm gonna go straight, and then I'm gonna watch all of this crazy happen that's masquerading as realistic, but at the same time like acknowledges that it's fake. It's weird. It doesn't know what it wants to be. Like Modern Warfare 1 wanted to be like, I think Modern Warfare 1 wanted to be realistic, and then I think like Infinity War started getting real pissed at Activision and like made their game bozo ass, like they did in Modern Warfare 2, where they started adding like, you know, blunt force, and they like you'd see like the pot leaf underneath like the emblem for the dude, like on your gamer tag. You know how they'd have like stuff like that wasn't in Modern Warfare 1 that I can remember, but it wasn't. I think that they just started like realizing how crazy their game was in Modern Warfare 2. They did that on purpose. And like in the third one, it's just going to be even worse. And the fact that it's going to sell more copies than any other game on the planet, like, kind of pisses me off. I don't know why. Maybe it's unfounded hatred. Maybe I don't. It just seems like there are more worthy games.
Call of Duty has gone viral. Cock of Duty has gone viral.
Yeah, but it's like
it has.
There's no justice
in viral.
I understand that much, but it's going to be in the record books as the best selling game of all time. Like whether or not it was viral is going to be irrelevant in the damn record book. Like people are going to see that and they're going to think, well. The layman is going to look at it and see it and be like, well, that must have been the best game of all time. Even though I can probably like guarantee that Modern Warfare is not the greatest game of all time. Even if you even that's a subjective subject. But if you were to get, you know, a panel of the top best critic, you know, game critics of all time and ask them what their top 10 favorite games are, Modern Warfare 2 or 3 are probably not going to be on there.
Nah, but listen. Games are selling now not because they're good. It's because what everybody's playing online.
Oh, I know that. I'm not. That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. That's why I'm pissed.
Yes, me too.
We need to get to a point in our culture where we start buying good shit. Like, we don't go to... We do go to shitty movies, but I like to think that we've come to a point where we're a little better in our, you know, discernment of movies. You know, we don't pick the shittiest of movies to watch. And even when we do, We pick the shittiest of the shitty, like The Room or Human Centipede or whatever. But I just feel like we kind of promised
it's gonna
like,
be all right. It's gonna be all right,
into gaming. Like, Wii was going to be the transitionary period where all of these, you know, the unwashed gaming masses would finally start to understand video games or whatever, but and it just never happened. And I just don't know if it's ever going to happen now. Like, if it does happen, it's going to be so far into my lifetime that I'm not sure I'm going to give a shit anymore. Like, the only way that it's ever going to get to that point is the majority of people alive will have had to grown up with video games. So, like, the oldest people and, like, people in their 50s now will probably have to die off before we get to that full kind of critical mass of video game players and culture.
You're definitely talking like an old man. I mean, it's really, video games just move so fast. You're like, remember the old times.
I know. I mean, yeah. You have completely different, like, I look back throughout the decades and it's just amazing, like, how gaming changes from one decade to the next.
It's changing really fast. So, yeah. So, I don't know.
I actually like that. It you know, stagnation isn't good for anything. As long as things are changing, things are staying interesting. So well,
you gotta
but,
find
but,
a good,
but some changes aren't, you know, excellent. I don't like the changes with Kinect. The Wii U could be great, but I just don't think that they're gonna develop to its potential in the first year. The great thing about the Nintendo products are that's their actual console. Like developers, if they want to make Wii products, they have to put in the gimmick or whatever, so they start developing to it. And that's why a lot of Wii games, despite, you know, having waggle controls or whatever, were really good.
Right.
Like Zack and Wiki, it's a puzzle game on the Wii. It kind of utilized motion controls a little bit, but it was really fun. I mean, it was a cool little puzzle game.
But
wasn't to the detriment of the gameplay.
Right. But it utilized the controls a little something different. It's the same thing with the if you have an iPhone or iPod Touch, an iPad, you know why that's popular? A lot of those games are utilizing touch.
Yeah.
You know, they're innovating a little bit in that area. So, you know, you have to look. Oh, as I said that, Fruit Ninja is my favorite game on my iPhone. Just right now in my RSS reader, joystick just popped up. Fruit Ninja Kinect preview. Chop till you stop. I would totally play this game on Kinect. I would buy a Kinect for this. Fruit just comes flying in the screen.
I don't play.
Fruit just comes in the screen. And Brent, you do?
I don't have a smartphone.
Okay.
So I don't get to play all these, you know, cool Fruit Ninja bullshit. Like I can only imagine those. I can imagine what a Fruit Ninja game would be. Is it like fruit flies at you and then you have to like slice it?
Yes, and you have to all combo right. You have to combo it with other fruit. You get the combos. Big score.
You nailed it. Game. You nailed it on the head.
Yeah, but that's what's so great about it. But if I do that with Kinect, forget it. That would be hysterical. You just karate chop fruit in the air. My knees are small.
Actually, now that I think about it, the Wii U is probably in direct competition with Apple. Like, now that I'm just thinking about it, like, basically they're saying, hey, all of that, you know, touch gameplay that you developed for the iPhone can now be translated onto the Wii, but you can also do other shit.
Yeah.
You can also put it onto the HD TV and have your, you know, little... you know, touchpad sitting on the dude's lap or whatever.
Yeah, there's some clarifications that we need to go into that as well when we do our next show. Because, like, when I was watching the stream, I really didn't even know that the Wii U was actually part of a separate console. I thought it was like an add-on for the actual Wii. And when they kept on mentioning HD, I'm like, this doesn't make sense. How Wii isn't HD? And I had to actually go look at news articles to find images of the actual console for Wii HD or Wii U.
I was hoping.
Like I did not get the full picture from that press conference that the Wii U is actually a separate Wii console.
A lot of people did.
Which I think Nintendo really failed on that part.
Yeah, but they'll make up for it. You'll get plenty of marketing to clarify that, so don't worry.
Yeah, we'll see.
But yeah, next time
the Wii U would like to play.
I mean, we've pretty much covered the Microsoft press conference this time around, so we'll nail down the remaining press conferences, mainly PlayStation/Sony and Nintendo.
Well, I want to talk about the Wii U for a little while. Next show, maybe.
Oh,
because
I'm really excited
about the Wii U. The Wii U, to me, represents
everything. I'm sure we have half an hour to it, so.
Like,
at least.
It represents my hopes and dreams for video games, if you will, if you'll let me get bomb-ass.
Yeah.
Grandiose.
Yeah, you'll have plenty of time to rant on
that. And I know that those dreams will be crushed over time. And I'll become disenchanted with the Wii U. But, there's a lot of stuff you could... I don't like the actual, pad. I don't like the layout of it. I understand that the sticks need to be near the bumpers and the triggers, but, the center of gravity is just so fucking low when you're holding the sticks up at the top. You know what I'm saying? It's like it's off balance, it looks like, maybe. I haven't held it, obviously, so maybe it feels better to hold. But, also having the buttons underneath the right stick is weird to me. Because I play Xbox, you know? My buttons are next to my right stick, you know, to the top, not to the bottom.
Yeah.
That's why I don't like the PS3 thumbsticks.
First of all,
I like that the 360s are concave, like the thumbsticks, because your thumbs can actually rest inside there and get better movement. And I don't like the fact that the fucking thumbsticks on the PS3 are so close together. They're right next to each other at the bottom.
Yeah.
I guess I'm the only person that thinks that. I'm sorry.
Keith is
dead.
Connection. He is dead. No, there's... I don't know, maybe it's just because we're used to Xbox so much. I don't know. And it looks like the thumbsticks are the flat ones that are on the 3DS, which, I don't know, I haven't really I haven't messed with
that
the
3DS. That was weird to me.
So I don't know kind of what it's like, but, I mean...
That seems fine for a mobile device,
Well, it technically is kind of a mobile device.
but what it's not a mobile device. I have to keep it in my house, it's not mobile.
Right.
I mean, just being able to move it around, to me, doesn't necessarily make it mobile.
Right.
It's just wireless. And I guess I could see it maybe being considered a standalone device because of the screen, but... My understanding is that all of that stuff is just being processed on the Wii and then being streamed.
See, that's what I can't figure out. And
because it has to be, right?
I was talking
if it's replicating everything on the screen.
Well, this is kind of what I'm thinking it is. It seems like it would be, if you look at the size, it almost looks like it's a Wii. It's a compact Wii without
the
CD drive.
It's two Wiis duct taped together.
It's the Wii without the CD drive. So my thinking is they're somehow sharing game state data, and the data that's being transferred over is just state data, not necessarily the entire video stream.
Right.
Because if you need real-time stuff, you don't want to be streaming that kind of video because it takes a while to compress it down, send it over, unpack it, uncompress it, and then display it. That just takes...
I just didn't know because of all the...
I'm thinking...
hullabaloo over Gaikai and stuff like that.
Yeah, I mean, what...
But, I mean, on live, and that's... The input lag is there, but if you're actually...
I mean, what I'm thinking...
close to the console...
Yeah, what I'm thinking...
There would be the visual lag, but there wouldn't be input lag.
Right. But, there's still the lag. So, I
don't know. They probably got all that stuff figured out, and they're never going to tell anybody until, it's too late. Until, it's out, and people can break it open and shit.
Yeah. I mean...
Figure out exactly...
And we'll talk about we'll talk about more of that in the next show.
Hey!
Because, hey. So, yeah, we'll address the Wii U, which I think is also a horrible name for it.
Yeah, it is a horrible name. Yeah.
But Wii worked out, so.
but
Wii U, to me, is horrible for different reasons. To me, Wii U isn't horrible because it's a bad name as much as Wii U is horrible because it confuses consumers. I don't think they're going to know they're fully marketed to. They'll probably get it, you know, closer to launch whenever the ads start flying, but
yeah. Oh, that'll be the day. Okay, so let's go ahead and wrap this sucker up. So, thanks guys for listening. We will be doing a second E3 show later this week to discuss the Sony and Nintendo press conferences in detail. And, Keith, do you want to mention the thing that might be happening next week?
The thing.
Yeah, the thing.
The thing.
Fantastic.
We have our special guest on the Running Riot podcast next week, Wednesday, Duststorm.
Yay, that's me.
Duststorm, be in the hot seat.
Oh, gosh. Oh, boy, this is going to be interesting.
Life in the fast lane. Sort of make you lose your mind.
I'm not sure how fast this lane can go. And since this is going to be compressed down to an hour, I'm not sure how much randomness I can fit in that goes into a normal podcast episode.
No, it won't get compressed. Whatever, if you want to keep going, we'll go all night.
Oh, man.
Well, I could go all night long, but Dustin can't. He's got to sleep.
Yeah, he does.
Well, I'd probably make an exception to that. I'd probably just decide to get it the next day.
Wow, I'm going to keep you up all night now.
Oh, God.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to be eating my words after that show, aren't I?
Yes.
Oh, boy.
You're just giving me more and more ammunition as we let's keep this recording going.
See, I wouldn't mind doing that.
Wait, I gotta interject here. It's been confirmed NeoGAF, Jen Taylor is the voice of Cortana.
Very nice.
Has she been smoking? I'm just kidding. I really did. In the video. So it didn't confuse me until people were like, that's not Jen Taylor. And then I was like, what?
Oh, jeez.
I don't know.
So glad that that's actually Jen Taylor.
She's got a little, maybe she's, you know, she's, I don't know, she's seasoned. <Something like that.
laughs> Glad we can get that resolved. Oh, jeez.
That's very important news, actually. Are you kidding?
It is important.
Well, I mean, I'm sure.
I don't even know if they signed,
Chief.
What's his name for the voice?
Steve Downs?
Steve Downs.
That sounds like Steve Downs.
Yeah, it does sound.
Yeah, I think it's Steve Downs.
And I can't imagine he's doing anything else. He's got his radio show.
He does?
Yeah, the classics with Steve Downs. Best classic rock from the 70s, 80s.
And 60s. Today.
No, I don't think he does contemporary on.
Yeah. Yeah. That's not classic. No, there's nothing classic that comes from today. Who are we kidding?
Yeah, it was great because like I'd drive home from like school and I'd end up hearing Steve Downs like advertising his show and be like, that's Master Chief. I'd be like, this week, Boston's greatest classics. And I'd be like, oh man, Master Chief loves Boston.
You tweeted about that recently, Brett. Yeah. You did. I love that shit.
Oh, man. Okay, but yes, I will be on the Running Riot next Wednesday at, what is it, 9 o'clock? 9:30 p.m. Eastern.
You could be there at 9. It's okay.
This is going to be one crazy show.
Bring donuts.
It'd be better if the show started an hour earlier, but you make the timetable, so this is your show. So
bring a 3D glass.
Oh, jeez. Oh, boy. That'll be... Xbox doesn't support 3D yet.
A terrible joke that you felt.
Yeah.
Hell.
Yeah, that, and then in...
Look for some... worst quality video you're ever going to see. It's so far from 3D or anything.
It works for a stream.
Exactly.
It works for a stream.
Exactly.
Although with the bandwidth
like cross-eyed 3D.
With the bandwidth I have and hopefully with you helping me test this weekend, we will get I'll get an HD streaming setup working.
I don't care. I think audio is the only thing that counts. Everybody can. Right. No one needs to see us or see me in high def. Number one. Number two. Everybody can see high def that. reach on their TV. They don't need it.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay. And then in a.
That's how I feel.
And shortly after that show, we will be having the podcast of all podcasts is what I'm dubbing it right now. And we're going to have really big names from the Halo community being in one large Skype call for probably about 3 or 4 hours, just talking about Halo, what we love about Halo, how we got started, and just kind of reminisce.
Yeah, I don't know how you're going to pull off that. I really don't.
We will find a way. I'm sure we are dedicated enough to where we can find a way to make that happen.
Just massive conflicts.
And it will be streamed live. Which is going to be Halo Civil War. Another challenge.
I can just imagine this massive like online war between Halo communities just pissed off at each other. It would be like the most sad thing on the planet, but at the same time, it'd be like the most interesting thing on the planet.
Exactly.
Because you wouldn't know who would like ally with who. Like, who's going to backstab who?
Exactly.
Like, who pleads neutrality? Like, what happens to those guys?
If it all of a sudden becomes some kind of battle, which it won't, I'll tell you that right now.
It won't.
We all go on to Reach and just play like big team battle.
Yeah, that would be awesome. And we just live stream that.
Yeah, we just like live stream like the like talking. Just take it, Blue.
Everybody's just so happy to be here. Yes, this is so great. Oh, it's great. Oh, I'm a
red.
Yeah, shut up. We're playing Halo. That would be a great show.
60-year-old stuff Xbox Live, old man.
I think we're gonna call it a night, guys. We will pick this up in a couple days. So thanks again for listening in. Send in any questions or comments that you have, especially about the E3 stuff, to submissions@podtacular.com, and we might address those on the next show. If not, we'll probably address them down the line somewhere, and we probably will start doing kind of a twice a week run once I actually finally get settled down and I'm not working at two different locations. So once that's supposed to happen in 2 weeks is actually when I move buildings. So
there's a Kotaku article on where's the Wii Vitality Sensor.
Is it just like a one sentence long article? It's dead.
Why? There's a short article.
Like nobody even cares to ask why. They don't understand why. Like it's dead. We know. we figured as much.
It's like there's no denying it.
There's like two comments. Like that.
Slow Thursday, huh?
Oh boy. Okay. Thanks again for listening in, and tune in again probably in 2 or 3 days for our next episode. And until then, peace. See ya.
Peace
of release.